The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. The New Testament clearly explains that all believers in Christ are saints. The New Testament does not teach that saints are people who have a special place high above everybody else, that they are, you know, super Christians and they went to heaven and they are there to help other people in their lowly estate here. That is not the teaching of the New Testament. All of God's people, if you're a converted Christian, you are called a saint. And that applies to the local church and it applies to the great church, all the Christians everywhere. So a church like in Corinth, they're saints. The people in Colossae, they're saints. The people in Southern California, they're saints. The people in Texas, they're saints. So all the churches, wherever they are saints. On all of God's people, wherever they are. If you're a converted Christian, have the Spirit of God, the Bible calls you a saint. And you owe this title to no one else but to God Almighty through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's how you've been sanctified. Now, according to the Bible, sometimes saints need help. They need help. In the book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 27, the Bible says, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes, he meaning God, intercedes for the saints. Christ intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. He intercedes for the saints. Sometimes, you know, he searches the hearts and knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he intercedes for the saints. Sometimes you and I have ideas. Sometimes we have wants. We have desires. We have wants the way we want to pray. We don't know exactly how to do it. We don't know what to say. Sometimes God knows what you need before you know what you need. He intercedes. There's an intercession. There's somebody there saying, I'm interceding. You know, he doesn't know what to do right now, God. He's a little lost. She's a little befuddled now. She doesn't know quite what to do. She's lost her way. I'm going to intercede for her. She wants to say this, but she can't say it. God intercedes. Let me read that in the New English Translation. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes on behalf of the saints according to the will of God. So sometimes we need spiritual intercession. We need spiritual help. Other times we need physical help. For instance, when the Apostle Paul sent Phoebe, one of the deaconesses, diaconoi, she was one of the people who came to help. She comes to Rome, and this is what Paul said to the Roman church. I want you to receive this, Romans 16 and verse 2. He said, I want you to receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and that you help her in whatever matter she may have need of you. For she herself has been a helper of many and of myself as well. She was a saint. She has helped many saints. She is a saint. She needs help from you people in Rome. And I hope you will do it, you know, in a manner worthy of saints. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 4. He's talking about the Philippi church, the church in Macedonia, how they were begging us with much urging for the favor of participating in the support, that is the relief of the saints in Jerusalem. For the support, relief. Now in that time, the Apostle Paul carried a great burden. You know, he had persecuted the church in Judea. He had persecuted anybody that claimed Christ. He wanted to make them blaspheme. You turn against Christ. You say ugly things about Christ. He wanted to make them blaspheme. But, you know, later on he became converted. many of the Jews in the Judea area were ostracized, and people would not do business with them. Their businesses failed. They were very poor. They were, you know, most on the verge of starvation. If you're out of a job now, I'll tell you, you can be very poor as well. And so here were these poor people. They couldn't, nobody would trade with them. Nobody would give them anything. And so the Apostle Paul had that burden. And he says to the people, he encourages us to give help. Saints sometimes need help, and some saints are urged to give help. Romans 12 and verse 13. Contributing. This is one of the things that we're supposed to do. Contributing to the needs of the saints. Practice hospitality. Let me read that in the New English Translation. Contribute to the needs of the saints. That's God's people. Those are converted Christians. You got to find out where they are. Now, in Romans chapter 15, the Apostle Paul has a long passage here beginning in verse 25. Now I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm reading from Romans 15, verse 25. Now I'm going to Jerusalem and serving the saints. Now, you remember, he had this big collection. Remember, he told the Corinthians, lay it aside on the first day of the week. Lay it aside so I'll have that collection for the saints. I'm going to Jerusalem for the needs of to serve the saints. For Macedonia, that's the area of Philippi, and Achaia, that's the area of Corinth, have been pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. There were poor saints. Not everybody who believes in Christ, not everybody who follows God's law and follows God's way is always rich. That is just not the case. There are people who end up very poor. A lot of things, circumstances. It's not poor because they don't work. It's not poor because they're lazy. It's not poor because, you know, they're stupid. They just may have other things, but they become poor. Now, if you're lazy, you know what Apostle Paul said of the saints who are lazy? He that does not work, neither shall he eat. We don't contribute food to people who won't work or who ne'er do well or who just, you know, want to just spend their time on drugs or other things. That is not the way that God's talks about it in the Bible. But he says, I'm going to make a contribution for they made a contribution, Achaia and Macedonia, to the poor saints in Jerusalem. Yes, they were pleased to do so, and they are indebted to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews, spiritual things, they are indebted to minister to them also in material things. See, Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. He was so happy to do this for those people. So happy. Therefore, when I have finished this and have put on the seal on this fruit of theirs, I will go on my way to Spain. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. And I urge you, brethren, by the Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be rescued from those who are disobedient in Judea. As there are people who didn't like Paul in Judea, and that my service to the for Jerusalem may prove acceptable to the saints. I want to do this to God's people, the saints. So it was a collection for the saints, as you see in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 10. He's talking to these people, the Hebrews here, for God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name in having ministered and in still ministering. Ministers mean service to the saints. What did Jesus say when he comes back? What's that statement? Well, when do we see you, Lord? When do we see you like this? When do we see you starving? When do we see you not having anything to drink? When did we see you like this? When do we see you sick and injured? And when do we see you like this? And he said, in as much as you did it to one of the least of these, not somebody I don't know, my brothers. My brothers, my brethren, my sisters, my people who have the same Holy Spirit, they are the same. Inasmuch as you've done it to one of the least of these my brothers, you've done it to me. You've done it to me. So when you do it to the saints, and Paul is telling the Hebrews here, for God is not unjust so as to forget your work, the love which you have shown toward his name in ministering and in having ministered and are still ministering to the saints, God's people. Yes, God's people. Now the saints actually are involved. When you talk about the coming of Jesus Christ, it talks about Jesus Christ coming to be glorified in his saints. Let's take a look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. When he comes to be glorified in or among his saints on that day, and to be marveled at among all who have believed, for our testimony to you was believed. He comes. When Jesus Christ comes, where does he get? When is he going to be glorified? When is, we're all waiting. We've waited so long. The saints have died in time past and will be resurrected. Then we which are alive will be caught up together. If we're lucky to be alive. But, the dead in Christ are not going to be second place. They're first place. We which are alive, if you live to the summit, they go up first. They beat Christ in the air, and then you join them in the air. But it's first, the dead in Christ rise first. 2 Thessalonians, I'm reading it in the New English Translation. When he comes to be glorified among his saints and admired on that day among all who have believed. When Jesus Christ comes, we've longed. Haven't you ever longed to see Jesus Christ? Haven't you ever longed to talk to him? Haven't you ever longed for that? To be admired among his saints, to be glorified among his saints, and to be admired among them who have believed. And you did, in fact, believe our testimony. Now, God gave gifts to the church. God bless the church with gifts. Many of those gifts, the gifts are apostles. Let me read it. Ephesians chapter 4. And God gave some gifts like apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, many people say that pastors and teachers are all one included in one word. Pastors are teachers. Teachers are not always pastors, but pastors and teachers. Ephesians 4, verse 11. I'm going to read it in the New English Translation. It was he who gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. McDonald's idiomatic translation now in verse 12. I'm going to read verse 12. These gifts, and when God gives these offices of services, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, these are gifts to the church. These are his gifts. These gifts, listen to what he says in verse 12. I'm reading from the McDonald idiomatic translation. These gifts are for equipping the holy ones. That's the word saints. Saints means holy ones. This is for equipping the holy ones for the work of serving for the building of the body of Christ. The work of serving. The work of service. Let me read that in the New American Standard Version. For the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. That's what the saints do. They serve, and every time you serve, you build up the body of Christ. Do you remember when I said that when Jesus comes, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers? But in the book, you'll see why this is so. Because Jesus Christ himself is called a saint. Believe it? Take a look at Mark chapter 1, verse 24. These demons are, he's seeing these demons, and what they say, what business do we have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? Now, the Greek goes like this. It's a Hebraic expression that goes, What to me and to you? What to me and to you? Meaning, what do we have to do with each other? What to me and to you? Jesus of Nazareth, have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. These are demons saying this to Jesus. I know who you are, the Holy One. The Holy One, the Holy One of God. The word Holy One, Hagios, Hagios, means the saint. It's translated saints when it's plural. Hagioi is the saints. Hagios is singular. Hagioi is plural. He's called the Holy One of God. Take a look at Luke chapter 4, verse 34. This is, again, the demons talking to Jesus. Let us alone. What business do we have with each other? What to me and to you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. That's in two Gospels. The Holy One of God. That's who he's called. And in John chapter 6, verses 68 and 69, Simon Peter answered. Remember when he was going to say, are you going to leave too? You know, some of his disciples were offended at what he said. You know, I'm the bread of life. You know, he that eats this will never die. And they said, you know, that's too much for us. We're leaving. And Jesus says, are you guys going to leave? And Simon Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and know that you are the Holy One of God. I'm reading that from the American Standard Version. The Holy One of God. So Jesus Christ is the Holy One. And then we become the Holy Ones. And he gives these gifts so that the Holy Ones, can be equipped for service to the church, to build up the church. That's what the church does. Every time you serve your brothers, it builds up the church. If you're a holy one, that's the label God has given you. He calls for vigilance. Holy ones have to be vigilant in Christian living. Listen to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. But sexual immorality and any impurity or greed should not even be heard of among you, as is proper for saints, holy ones. Shouldn't even be heard of among you. And saints are called to do intercessory prayers. You call on who do you want to pray for you? You just want anybody? Or do you want a saint to pray for you? Listen to Ephesians 6, verse 18. Through using all forms of prayer and petition, I'm reading from the McDonald Idiomatic Translation now, through using all forms of prayer and petition, in every situation, remain prayerful in spirit. Keep alert spiritually, pressing on and persevering in prayer for all the holy ones. When you pray, Paul's saying, you know, I'm asking you to pray, you know, not just for me, but for all the holy ones, all the saints. Let me read that in the New American Standard Version. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Now, it might surprise you to know that Christianity itself, what we call the New Testament, the writings of the apostles, was entrusted to God's people. In the book of Jude, we have this verse in verse 3. Beloved, this is Jude writing to the brethren there. Jude says, Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly. The word contend means to fight, you know, really strive hard. Strive, can fight, fight for. You know, the politicians love that word, you know. If I'm elected, I'll go into Washington and I'll fight for this. They're always wanting to fight. You ever notice that? They're fighting for this, they're fighting for that. I'll fight for lower taxes, I'll fight for better, I'll fight for it. They're always fighting for something. You ever notice the word fight? But here we have the word fight. that you fight for, okay? That you fight earnestly for the faith, for the faith. It's the body of beliefs. That's the body of doctrine, which was once and for all handed down to the saints. Who were the New Testament documents handed to? They were handed to the saints. We have to guard it. We have to guard it. I named Guardian Ministries because we were trying to guard the gospel, guard the truth, guard the documents, guard the truth of God away from doctrinal error, doctrinal moving away from it, going this way, that way. Let me read that in the New International Version. New International Version translates Jude 1 verse 3 like this. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people. Now, the word here is not just once, but it means once and for all. In other words, the New Testament is the final revelation of God. It's God's final revelation. There are no more, you know, that's why I couldn't be a Mormon, because, you know, the Mormons believe, no, there's a revelation after the New Testament. That's the Book of Mormon. No, there's no revelation. And not the Muslim, they believe that Muhammad received a revelation. No, I can't go with that. This is the once and for all final revelation. And it was delivered to God's people to preserve, to fight, and to contend earnestly for it. I mean, not physical fighting, but striving. It means like you're really fighting. You're going to hold to this truth, and that's where you hold it. Now, as holy people of God, the saints have a special relationship with the Holy Spirit. A special relationship with God's Holy Spirit. Listen to this, Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 14. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading again to fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry, Abba, which means Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So the Holy Spirit inside us, God's power, God's... Now, it's called himself because it really is the projection of Jesus Christ. If anyone has not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. He has to be in you, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God. Now, the Holy Spirit is also involved in our sanctification. What makes us holy? How did you become a saint? Sanctified, made holy by the Holy Spirit. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. He's talking about, prior to verse 11, he's talking about some of you were adulterers and lisbon and lascivious and you drunkards and this and every perversion, every other thing. But he says, now such were some of you. This is 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. Such were some of you, but you were washed. What does washed mean? You were baptized, symbol of the water, washing away your sins. You were sanctified, made holy. You were justified, made righteous. Now, it's that order, brethren. It's that order. Now, some of you listening to me out there, some of you have listened, or you're listening here in church. Yeah, you think you're fine because you've attended church, but maybe you've never been baptized. Maybe you've never actually surrendered and been baptized below the water, washed with the water. You were washed. You were sanctified when you received the Holy Spirit. You're made holy with the Holy Spirit. And you were then justified, made righteous in God's state. You stand before God as a justified, righteous person. That's how God looks at you, even though you're really not. You know, you make sins, you do sins, you have to follow, and you have to live a righteous life. But as long as you're trying to do it, God looks at you as righteous. He forgives your sins. And you have to, you know, be cognizant of it, do the right thing. But you have a status in before God as righteous. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. In the Spirit of our God. If you haven't been baptized, if you have let this go, you need to change this. You need to believe in Christ and you need to be baptized if you haven't been. You can write us or email me, as you heard earlier, at davidantion.com. 2 Corinthians. Now, this is 2 Thessalonians. Listen to what he says here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, after he talks all about the beast, the false prophet, you know, all that. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation. Why? Through sanctification. Sanctification merely means to be made holy, being made holy. Sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. You have to have faith in God's truth. I'm going to read verse 14 now. It was for this he called you through our gospel. What does it bring you? You have to hear the gospel. You have to hear the good news. And that brings you to this, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. And then we have this beautiful passage in Titus chapter 3, verse 7. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration. Again, there's that baptism thing coming in here. And renewing by the Holy Spirit. Whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. There's the washing of regeneration, the receiving of the Holy Spirit, renewing by the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't believe that the Holy Spirit is a separate individual person. But we can call it him or her, him, because it comes from God. It's part of who God is and who Jesus Christ is. But it's not a separate individual body or person. The saints are characterized by something else. You read the New Testament. If you're a saint, you have to be characterized by faithfulness. Take a look at this. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, some translations use the word to the saints and faithful brethren. Now, implying as though you have two different kinds of brethren. You have the saints and then you have the faithful brethren. No. Saints and faithful are one people, one person. The saints are the faithful brethren. If you're a saint, you're a faithful brother. Take a look at the Christian Standard Bible. It goes like this. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will, to the faithful saints. They combine it so much so they use the word faithful saints in Christ Jesus at Ephesus. In the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 2, I'm reading from the New American Standard Version, to the saints and faithful brethren. But the phrase is all one people, to the saints and faithful brethren. It would be like saying he's the president and CEO. Here comes the president and CEO of our corporation. Well, it doesn't mean two people. Here comes the president and CEO. You can use that for here comes Joe, the president and CEO. Well, that just means what? The same person has two titles. And so translations, here's a New English translation of Colossians 1, verse 2. To the saints, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. New English translation. To the saints who are the faithful brothers and sisters. In other words, saints are faithful to God, faithful to Christ. And they are called to endure in their faith. If you read the book of Revelation, I'm just going to turn to a very few passages here. Here's Revelation 13 and verse 10. Let me read verse 7. It talks about this beast power. It was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Saints are wonderful people. The saints are great people. Who doesn't like them? The beast power and Satan the devil. He doesn't like them. He hates them. He makes war with them. He wants to destroy them. Dropping down to verse 10. If anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity he goes. If anyone is killed with a sword he will be killed. And here is the perseverance and faith of the saints. The saints are holding on, persevering, under enormous, enormous persecution. And that is destined to happen. Chapter 14 of the book of Revelation and verse 12. Here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus Christ. Their faith in Jesus. They persevere. They're holding on. The saints are going to be targeted. But to them is revealed God's mystery. To them is revealed the glorious mystery of God. And here it is in the book of Colossians, chapter 1. I'm going to read from the New American Standard Version. It says, of this church I was made a minister. I'm reading from Colossians 1, beginning in verse 25. I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed upon me for your benefit so that I may fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. That is the mystery which was hidden from past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to the saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of his glory, the mystery among the Gentiles. What is it? Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we're called to conform to the right character. We have to live the right life. We have to be faithful in Christ. But we're going to receive an enormous, glorious time. Here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Look what it says. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened. It's your mind. Heart is your mind. Where you see. So that you will know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of his glory. Which are the riches of the glory of his inheritance to the saints. But you're going to know what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance. The saints are to inherit this glorious kingdom, to inherit eternal life, to inherit a co-ownership with Jesus Christ. Let me read 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 10. When he comes to be glorified in his saints on that day, and to be marveled at among all who have believed, for our testimony was believed. I already read that, but again, we're going to inherit this at the time that Jesus Christ comes. The saints pray. There's no doubt about it. Satan and his evil powers want to make war with them, going to martyr some of them. No doubt about that in the book of Revelation. going to martyr some of them. So they pray. What do they pray? Well, you see it in the book of Revelation, talking about the prayers of the saints. Let me read just a couple of passages. Revelation 5:8. When he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. The prayers of the saints. You don't think of your prayers going up before God as part of the incense that comes before God. And why are the saints so prayerful? Well, they're praying because they're going to be persecuted. They're praying for perseverance. They're praying that they can endure their prayers. And in Revelation 8, verses 3 and 4, another angel came and stood at the altar holding a golden censer. And much incense was given to him so that he might add to it, that he might add it to the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar, which is before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints went up before God out of the angel's hand. Here are these censers would have this wafting of this. And as the prayers of the saints are wafted up. The saints pray. They pray for perseverance. They pray to endure the persecution. They pray to remain faithful. Now, the last verse of the Bible is a very interesting verse. The last verse of the Bible is Revelation chapter 22, verse 21. A number of translations. There are Greek manuscripts that differ on this verse a little bit. I'm going to read it here in the New American Standard Version, which goes like this. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. With you. Who are you talking about you? Who's the Bible written to? Be with you all. Who? God's people, right? But there are a number of manuscripts that vary this. So I'm going to read you different translations. So I want you to listen to the different manuscripts. There are two major things. And great authorities on both sides of this question. Here's from the Christian English. The Common English Bible. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Here's from the American Standard Version. American Standard, that was the one before the New American Standard. That was the one back some time ago. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with the saints. Amen. Let me read it in the Bible in basic English. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with the saints. So be it. Let me read it from the complete Jewish Bible. May the grace of the Lord Yeshua be with all. Let me read that from the Christian Standard Bible. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with all the saints. Amen. Let me read it from the English Revised Version. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with the saints. Amen. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in the English Standard Version, be with you all, or be with all. So there are so many manuscripts that it's very easy to realize that the last verse of the whole Bible is dedicated to the saints. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you, you, brethren. The saints, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to avail yourself of that grace, you must become a saint. By repentance, by baptism, by being sanctified by the Holy Spirit.